Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a
Blog Talk Radio Studios in Union City, New Jersey. This is Dating Today with Fernanda Uribe. I want to thank you all for tuning in this, the 15th of November, the year 2016. I'm Fernanda Uribe here and you there listening here tonight on Blog Talk Radio, folks. And as always, this week's edition of Dating Today with Fernanda Uribe is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. You can check out more information about this incredible nonprofit that I'm proud to partner with by going to www.masoncivic.org. Now, for those of you that are not aware, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman Beth Mason, and its mission has been to improve the quality of life for all of those in need. You can visit their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., which is located at 1200 Washington Street in the uptown section of Hoboken, New Jersey, or you can also call their office 201-706-8088. Also, make sure to shoot them an email at their inbox, info@masoncivic.org, and don't forget to like them on Facebook. Folks, I also want to thank one of our great participants here on the program, Son Cubano, great restaurant. You can check out more information about them at www.soncubanonj.com. Now, Son Cubano is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey, right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, folks, and easily accessible via New Jersey Transit and New York waterways, as well as Uber and Lyft. You can call their reservation hotline, 201-399-2020. Now, Son Cubano is one of New Jersey's award-winning restaurants, bringing you amazing Cuban cuisine and the beautiful skyline of New York City to enjoy 7 nights a week. Whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, don't forget to go to Son Cubano. Folks, again, don't forget to make sure you like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to give a shout out here tonight to some other great sites here. Also, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. A great local media site hosted by one of my dearest friends, Miss Ashley Cromcakes. Again, it's a great media site. Check it out, folks. Cromcakes.com. And last but not least, I also want to give a shout out to Rough Rehab, a great no-kill northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Folks, you can check them out at their website, www.roughrehab.org. That's RUFFREHAB.org. Again, great local shelters. You're looking to get that pet for that special someone. Do me a favor. Do it today by going to Rough Rehab in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. So again, big thank you to Rough Rehab, Crowncakes.com, Son Cubano, and the Mason Civic League for bringing you this week's edition of Dating Today with Fernanda Uribe. Folks, again, the call-in hotline tonight, toll 364-6649-1926. Again, I want to send a shout-out to all my great listeners tonight. Again, you can also shoot me an email, professorfuj@gmail.com. Also, find me on Twitter at TheAmazingUribe. And don't forget, of course, find me on Instagram by going to just at @your_favorite_Fernando. So again, it's great to have my audience tonight. And what can I say? It's just an amazing time here, folks. Great weekend for my Dallas Cowboys, 8-1, best record in the NFL for all the haters. So again, great to have friends in Dallas, Texas tonight listening in to the best 30 minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online. Again, it's always Dating Today with Fernando your rebate. Again, folks, the toll-free hotline number to call in tonight, again, 646-649-1926. Now, folks, sort of an interesting topic tonight for everyone's here listening on Dating Today. And, of course, it's a week later. We've all had a chance to digest last week's election results. And I know for many people it was sort of a very, very eerie night, to say the least. And for some people it was a very joyous occasion. And for some others, not so much. So I have to tell you, you know, it's without a doubt, I have to say that, you know, it was a very interesting campaign, very interesting election. But one of the things that certainly resonated a lot, I felt that with a lot of couples that I knew and people just in general, was how, you know, how did it feel dating someone who maybe you knew wasn't going to vote the same way you were and has different political beliefs than you do? And certainly, how do you cope with that, especially in an area like New York, New Jersey, where people are predominantly very liberal? You know, how do you cope with that if you're someone, let's say, who's center, let's say like myself, you know, or maybe a little bit more to the right? So it's a challenge. And, you know, one of the things last week that I found interesting was to sort of, you know, examine sort of the mindset that goes into, you know, looking at politics and, of course, you know, how that affects our relationships. And tonight what I really want to cover with you is, you know, how not to, you know, really resent your significant other if you voted for different candidates. And listen, I'm sure that this happened in millions of homes last week, last Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning. You know, you and your significant other were snuggling on the couch with your eyes glued to the TV on election night. And as it became more and more evident who was going to win, the two of you started moving farther and farther away from each other. Now, the problem is that while maybe your significant other was getting more and more excited about Donald Trump's possible victory, you were getting more and more heartbroken about Hillary Clinton's possible defeat. And then it happened. She lost. And your heart was shattered. Your significant other was over the moon about the whole thing, Snapchatting, Instagramming, everybody you knew, just telling people that, you know, hey, he was excited about making America great again. And listen, you know, you knew the two of you had some political differences, but now more than ever, it's starting to get pretty difficult to look past them. So how do you deal? And how do you get through this? And ultimately, you know, how do you stop resenting your significant other for his or her political beliefs? And, you know, it was funny, as I was thinking about this topic, I started doing some research over the weekend, and I found a couple of interesting talking points from some data that I came across. And tonight what I really wanted to cover with you is some very helpful hints. And the first thing is, you know, quite frankly, you know, as I'm trying to delve into this evening, you know, it can be tough. You know, politics can be a very difficult breaking point in some couples. You know, some couples have very deeply staunch and entrenched political beliefs. And believe it or not, you know, resentment is something that can build over time. It can be diffused really through like open conversation from the data that I've seen. You know, at least from experience, I know personally that my MO in a tense situation is to sort of avoid the topic altogether. Now, again, that's not really healthy when it comes to communicating, I know. But you need to have sort of a healthy, patient, honest dialogue with your partner. You know, if you don't, you'll end up bottling up negative feelings that really, you know, sort of turn into resentment towards each other. You know, and I think what happens is, you know, listen, politics can be a very divisive sort of issue. You know, and really one of the things that I want to sort of delve into tonight is, you know, how do you have a conversation about the election without killing each other? And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind is that there's a very healthy way to sort of have this important conversation. You know, you can have a dialogue by listening to your partner's point of view without interrupting or judging them, which sometimes can be hard because, like, you know, if one isn't well-versed or well-read or isn't informed or isn't knowledgeable, that's frustrating already as it is. And, you know, after each of you have had the opportunity to sort of share your opinion, you can sort of begin to, like, work on understanding the rationale behind the other person's political positions, you know. And it sort of makes me think back, you know, I remember, this is a few years back, I remember I was dating an actress in the city, and she was a devoted socialist, she was an atheist, I mean, she was everything as far to the left as you could possibly think of. Yes, you're probably wondering, Fernando, why'd you date her? Well, I mean, she was hot, so, you know, as a guy, you sort of overlooked that, you know, so you sort of be like, they'll pass it and say, well, all right, well, she's hot, and, you know, what can you do? And, you know, it was interesting because we were both in grad school. I was a little bit further advanced in my graduate studies than she was. We were studying different, you know, disciplines. But the point was, you know, she was someone who was very, very well versed in politics, someone who I think was pretty well read and did her best to stay informed. You know, it was kind of interesting, you know, Friday night sometimes, you know, before going out, you know, I'd be at her house watching Real Time with Bill Maher. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, like sometimes, you know, Bill Maher would kind of drive you crazy with some of his opinions and viewpoints. But, you know, I found a way to sit there and listen to it, you know. And one of the things that, you know, I've always taken pride in when it comes to sort of my political ideology is the fact that I am very well-versed. You know, I'm someone who prides himself on being, you know, pretty centered, someone who's very middle of the road, someone who, you know, has some conservative beliefs, not many, I think, especially social. Very rare for me to have, you know, an overly social conservative opinion about an issue. I tend to be a little more conservative or, you know, practical or responsible when it comes to, you know, financial issues, economic issues. I tend to be a little more progressive on social issues. And not so much to the right, but again, not too far left either. I think I pride myself on being a very middle of the road person, and that's what I've always heard consistently, I've, at least through my dating life, you know. And that's always been tough, you know. I've dealt with women on both sides of the spectrum. I dated women who are very, very liberal, and I've also dated women that are very, very conservative. And that's always been a challenge because what ends up happening is, this happens a lot, especially in academia as well in my career. You know, because I'm so centered, you know, someone on the right, on the far right, I'm too liberal for them or I'm a socialist. And the problem is that someone who's very far left, someone like myself is, you know, too conservative or I'm like an extreme right winger. And, you know, I've always felt that I can never win this battle. It's always going to be sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, I've always done my best to cope with that and, you know, deal and try to always explain myself. But, you know, what we've learned during this election cycle, folks, and again, this is probably one of the most divisive campaigns we've ever dealt with in our lifetime. I mean, let's be very, very honest, you know. You know, and one of the things that I think that we pride ourselves on is the fact that, you know, we're a country of, you know, diverse ideas. You know, we're a melting pot, not just ethnically, but we're a melting pot also of ideals and philosophies. And one of the things that, you know, makes politics challenging, especially within couples, is the fact that you may not always agree and you may not always have the same, you know, viewpoints and stuff like that. One of the important things I just mentioned is, you know, you try to work on understanding the rationale behind the other person's positions. And let's be very fair and honest about something. Like, that's obviously easier said than done. You know, any human being with opinions and feelings has been in a combo where the other person's opinions were just so incredibly wrong or offensive that they just couldn't help but burst into like a blind rage. So sometimes, you know, what suddenly is a casual, healthy conversation about your political views turns into like World War III, and you can't even look at each other afterwards. And listen, that's normal. A lot of practitioners, a lot of psychologists will say that that's normal. You know, casual disagreements can escalate quickly when two people are passionate about their own points of view. But listen, there's a way to stop things from getting totally out of hand when you see this starting to happen, you know. If you feel as if a casual disagreement is going to be escalating, you know, take the time to acknowledge that the conversation is getting out of hand and just sort of, you know, refocus on respectful communication. And that's not always easy. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it can be a challenge. And at the same token, also, you know, you want to, you know, not, you know, let every little fight turn into like the end of the world. Like, this is probably a good skill to practice, you know, as a couple. But there's also sort of like a challenge as well when you know, how do you know when it's time to let go of a relationship sometimes? You know, if we have all these great communication skills and tricks, but there's still a certain point where it just gets to be too much. And, you know, it's like, is there ever a time when walking away from a relationship is just a better option than just sitting down for another exhausting conversation? And I remember that there was a woman, the same actress I had mentioned before. We, you know, I didn't really feel like breaking up with her. And I, you know, we had been getting along for a pretty good amount of time. We had dated for most of the summer and then going into the fall. And I remember sort of like this like awkward conversation when I was at her house, and you know, we woke up the next morning and she was saying to me, you know, as much as I've tried to sort of overlook your political beliefs, like I just can't get over that, you know, and it's just something that just doesn't sit well with me. It's just something that, you know, if I ever had to have a kid with you or look long term with you, like I don't know if I could do this. And I found it kind of funny because I remember that I said to them, like, well, is this sort of like, is this the end? The fact that like I'm not a socialist, is the fact that I'm not an atheist, like are these, you know, sort of, you know, non-negotiable type of things, you know, in a relationship? And I remember that to her, it was like, yeah, you know, it was like she was someone who would go to, you know, anti-war rallies. She was someone who was very about the environment and was all about climate change and was all about women's rights and was all about a lot of issues that, quite frankly, were, you know, more along a progressive, very liberal type of ideology. And it wasn't something that I subscribed to. Now, I wasn't dismissive. I just simply said, well, I mean, if you can ask my opinion, I think you're wrong about these things. And I would, you know, and I would, you know, articulate why, and we would have, I think, pretty constructive conversations. But at the end of the day, she was just like, you know, I can't date someone who I think is ultra conservative. And I sort of laughed at her and said, well, it's kind of funny, you know, people like you epitomize supposedly what liberals are supposed to be. You know, liberals are supposed to be the tolerant ones. Liberals are supposed to be the, oh, they're the ones that, you know, embrace free speech and are the ones that try to incorporate all views. And the reality was that that's not the truth. You know, a lot of liberals that I knew, women and guys, you know, talk a game about liberalism and how tolerant they are, but they're tolerant as long as you agree with them. And that was sort of like what I called her out on, you know, during the conversation. I say, well, you know, you're tolerant as long as I agree with your views. And if I don't, then I'm seen as intolerant. And I just thought that was really funny. And I remember that after we broke up, about a year later, I think we had run into each other. And like, I think we started hooking up again a little bit. And I was just like, all right, well, you know, I just thought it was funny. And she sort of like, you know, a year later had mentioned it to me and said, well, you know, I know that was kind of silly. And I sort of called her out on it. I'm like, yeah, no shit, you know, like you are stupid. You are ignorant, you know, for, you know, breaking off a relationship because we weren't along the same lines politically. Like I said, you know, it's like, you're older than me too. Like I would expect that out of like a 27-year-old girl, you know, but not someone who's like a couple years older than me. And this was a woman I dated like in my mid-30s. So I found that to be kind of funny. And I looked at her and I'm like, well, there's a reason why you're hitting 40, honey. And like, you're still single and you don't have a kid. So that little zing was, you know, kind of humorous, I thought, you know, to sort of stick it to her. But sometimes, you know, politics becomes a very, very big talking point and becomes a stickler for a lot of people where they're going to, you know, be, you know, that's an end all be all, like I said. And it's one of those things that, you know, for a lot of couples, you know, talking about politics can be, you know, very, very challenging. And, you know, listen, overall, some conversations can be toxic. Some conversations can be hostile. And, you know, one of the things that I pride myself on, and I think any woman that's dated me whenever we've talked about politics can say is that, you know, hey, I make it a point to be knowledgeable. I make it a point to be, you know, well-informed and well-read. And, you know, most of the women that I've dated in my lifetime, I think, aren't as well-read as me. And I don't say that to be insulting. I'm someone who's very well-read. I'm someone who makes it a point to read a lot and to be informed and not necessarily have, like, you know, some sort of, like, encyclopedic type of knowledge base, but to, you know, to be someone who, you know, you can rely on for information and, you know, accurate information. And I remember just, you know, whether it was this election cycle, and I remember my significant other, I mean, I thought I had to call her local police department because I thought I might have had to, like, file a missing persons report. Like, you couldn't find her after Hillary lost. And I remember, you know, going back years where I knew a couple of women. I remember during Barack Obama's first election in 2008, I wasn't very happy about it. And I remember I was dating a woman who was very, very, you know, overjoyed about the election of Barack Obama. And I was like, okay, you know, I wasn't happy. I was out on the street rioting and destroying public property like a bunch of savages that we know are out there in the United States right now. But, you know, I took it in good stride. You know, I you know, hey, lost fair and square, and certainly it was something that didn't sit well with me. But as a couple, I knew that we would overcome that, and we would, you know, be able to endure that and not let it consume the relationship, and sometimes, you know, not, you know, have that be a sticking point. And I think that, you know, hopefully one of the bigger lessons to be learned from last week's election results, regardless of where you stand, whether you voted for Donald Trump, the president-elect, or you voted for Hillary Clinton, is at this point, you know, if tension in a relationship or there was hostility during the communication, that, you know, at this point, it sort of just subsides. You know, the election's over. The man won fair and square. He's going to go on to become the 45th president once the Electoral College votes in December. And Hillary will, you know, go off into the sunset and do whatever it is she's going to do, whether it's delete more emails or. But the point is that couples should be able to endure this and overcome this and sort of continue dating. And like I said, you know, it's not easy, especially for those in a relationship that have very, very deep views, can be very passionate about how they feel politically on a large range of issues. It can be something that, you know, can be trying. Especially, like I said, you know, if you make it a point to be someone who's informed, and let's say you're dating someone who's not very informed, it can be frustrating. It can be a challenge because you feel like you have to sort of sit there and educate someone, which you don't always want to do. And there'll be times you disagree fundamentally on policy and ideology. And, you know, it's important to sort of, you know, I've always learned to be playful. I think if you can crack jokes and make it somewhat humorous, I think that's important. To sort of have, you know, deep conversations where you don't incorporate some humor, I think isn't very healthy. I think it's going to be, you know, unproductive. You know, you want couples to be able to, you know, talk about this and be productive and be, as I said, you know, capable of not letting an election or overall political ideology become something that consumes the relationship. Listen, it's not just about politics. You can have different views on religion. You can have different views about child rearing and whether or not you want to have children and how to raise children and how to cope with families and how to cope with money. I mean, there's no shortage of things to argue about when you're in a relationship. You know, there's no shortage of you know, topics to discuss. And hopefully politics isn't one that overwhelmingly is going to make or break a relationship. You know, I remember that was one of the things that, you know, I think back to whether it was that girlfriend back, and I remember this was like 2007, I remember. And, you know, I remember telling the story to my friends, and we shared some mutual friends, and I remember, you know, I didn't mind bad-mouthing her because I thought it was really petty in terms of the reason we shouldn't continue seeing each other. And then, you know, a year later, you know, my friends were sort of laughing behind her back because it's like, oh, well, she talked all this nonsense, and guess what? You know, you ran into each other, and guess what? You started hooking up again. And, you know, after that, I didn't take her very seriously. I was basically like, all right, well, you know, I'll continue hanging out with you. But I ended up seeing someone else at the time too, because it's like, well, you know, if she's just like a random hookup, I'm not going to like take her very seriously. And, you know, my friend, it was just funny. My friends were just like, oh, wow, you know, it's like, you think that if you get back together, she'll, you know, be mad at you because maybe you won't vote for Barack Obama. And I was just like, we laughed. And my friends and I just laughed it off. Like, wow, you know, some women can be so petty. And listen, some guys can be too. I don't want to just put the blame solely on that women are guilty of this. I think that in a relationship, you know, there can be two people that disagree fundamentally about candidates and about ideology, about political parties. And at the end of the day, if you're able to talk it out and not let that be sort of an overwhelming component of a relationship, you know, that's a healthy thing. And I hope that tonight, folks, you know, you were able to sit here tonight and really absorb this. You know, it's been a week since election night. We've moved on as a country, hopefully again, January 20th, 2017. We usher in a new presidency and we go from there. And like I said, if Barack Obama and Donald Trump can meet in the Oval Office and shake hands and move on from their deep dislike of each other, you know what? I think we as a nation, regardless of affiliation, party registration, ideology, or just, you know, political thoughts, I think we can too. So hopefully it's, you know, we will move on from that as well. And hopefully tonight, for those of you listening that are in a relationship or just start seeing someone and maybe their political views don't sit well with you, you know, try to take everything into account. But talking it out, I think, is very helpful. So think about that, folks, as we move forward into 2017. And again, the 45th president of the United States. Well, folks, again, I hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast. Again, if you missed any portion of this evening, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtodaywithFernandoUribe. And again, I just want to thank all my great listeners, whether it's here in the New York, New Jersey area, all the way down to Raleigh, North Carolina, down to Florida, South Florida, there, Miami, Dallas, Texas, of course, you know, home of the first place Cowboys. And also, you know, all the way out to California. We got some friends in Vegas there that enjoy the show and appreciate that. And again, you know, I want to thank, as always, my great sponsor, the Mason Civic League. Again, you can check them out online at www.masoncivic.org. Again, folks, don't forget to like them on Facebook. You can always shoot them an email, info@masoncivic.org. Don't forget, you can call their office number, 201-706-8088. Again, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can also visit their office, 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Again, folks, I'm proud to partner with the Mason Civic League coming up on Friday night, December the 2nd, for the 2016 edition of my annual holiday happy hour. Again, on behalf of the Fernando Uribe Foundation, we'll be hosting our annual holiday party / toy drive. So please, if you're a Facebook user, just, you know, do a search for Holiday Happy Hour 2016. Also on Instagram, you can do a search and you'll find all the information there. Friday night, December the 2nd at Son Cubano. Again, speaking of Son Cubano, check them out online at www.soncubanonj.com. You can call the reservation hotline 7 days a week, 201-399-2020. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Also want to give a shout out tonight to cromcakes.com, a great local media site, folks. You won't go wrong reading it every single day. Cromcakes.com, again, that's K as a knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Also, folks, check out roughrehab.org, a great no-kill northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mount Lakes, New Jersey. Folks, the holidays are coming, and if you want to give that special someone that pet that they've been looking for, look no further than Rough Rehab. Again, www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B. org. And again, I want to thank Rough Rehab, Cromcakes.com, Son Cubano, and of course, last but not least, the Mason Civic League for bringing you the best 30 minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online, folks. You guess it's always here every week, Dating Today with yours truly, Fernando Uribe. Good night, Dallas, Texas. Again, the home of the 8-1, first place in the NFC East and first place in the NFC. That's right, America's team. Your Dallas Cowboys. Until next week, folks, take care of each other. Again, election's over. Let's move on. As always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from the pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a car.